It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day in your day. The refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast of Torso Ministry. That stands for Times of Refreshing, Simplicity of Eden Ministry. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, especially since it's the preparation day. That's not in the Bible, that last phrase, but that's found in Psalm 118:24 and Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time for our opening prayer on this 31st of March. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne. And she's muted.
We come to you, Lord, on this day of preparation, and we pray and ask for your spirit to be with us as we go into this morning's worship. We ask that you will anoint the words for our pastor, fill him with your spirit. Bless us this morning, Lord, for this is what we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
the gospel according to Hebrews chapter 5. Let's pray. Dearest Father, thank you so much. We want to begin this prayer with praise. We want to thank you for being sovereign of the universe. We want to thank you for using Jesus to create the world. We want to thank you for including the Holy Spirit as part of the arsenal of blessing sent to us, not forgetting the angelic host as well, to bless us with the wonderful provisions of heaven. We want to thank you for all of your creative works. We want to thank you for making us male and female, and each one of us one of those genders, even though there is a whole movement of people that say that you don't know what you're doing. We ask that you would continue to bless us and help us to grow in love and in mercy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, brothers and sisters, this is referring to men that were not Christ. He's going to turn the attention to Christ in a moment. So it says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice. So that's very interesting because God is basically saying the purpose of the priest was for the benefit of men, but pertaining to God. So God has put leaders in place to bring us closer to God. But the ministry is for the people, but it's pertaining to God. That's important. That's why tithe and offering are important, because it helps to support that work that is for us, but pertaining to God. Okay? Very interesting. It says, who have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. So let me tell you something. Ministers should be close to the people, and they should have empathy for the people. If you have a minister that's above you, that gives an air of superiority, you can't touch him, you can't talk to him, that's not the type of ministry that is biblical, my friend. You could get close to Christ as he taught you, and he was compassionate. And by reason hereof, verse 3, he ought, as for the people, as so also for himself, to offer for sins. Now, of course, every human being who was not Christ has sinned. So when he offered sacrifices, that could be for himself, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now it's going to switch, but it gave that nice introduction because that helps us to understand Christ. But now it says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Now, a lot of people focus on the fact that it says he's begotten, and that must mean that he had a beginning. The truth is, he's still God, the Son of God, God as well. God the Father calls him God, so that's what matters. It doesn't matter whether he had a beginning or not. But the bottom line is, if you turn to the book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 33, this is what it says. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. It is highly possible, I didn't say definite, but it's highly possible that the phrase begotten represents the resurrection. And even though there's another scripture that says that when he brought in the first begotten into the world, that doesn't necessarily mean that he had already been begotten. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the Bible uses sometimes phrases that don't necessarily deal with the present time. In other words, Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but he wasn't slain in the foundation of the world, but it was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I hope you're all following me. So a lot of people, you know, mess up in saying, yeah, he was begotten. That means he had a beginning. And actually the Bible says that this declaration was made at his resurrection. And even though there is another verse in the Bible that says when he brought in the first begotten into the world, that's like saying the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He wasn't slain back in the Garden of Eden, but it was the purpose. It was purpose that he would be slain. So if that is the case, then it could be purpose that he would be begotten at the resurrection, my friends. Just want to share some gems with you, okay? That is not, these are just possible interpretations of these verses, okay? But the bottom line, it says, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He's referring to Acts, and Acts is referring, mentions it also. It's in the book of Psalms where that phrase is mentioned, this day have I begotten thee, okay? So it's in Acts 13:33 that it simply indicates that that happened at his resurrection. So just keep that in mind. As we read on, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay? So where do we read that? Well, we read that in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 110, verse 4. It says, the Lord hath sworn, and I will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. David was talking about Christ when he said that. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Christ did not have the, we would say, Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That was David talking in the book of Psalms. Now, a lot of people think that Christ, Melchizedek, was Christ. We have the spirit of prophecy that the Bible says we would have. I like to say that because some people say we should prove everything from the Bible, but the Bible says that there would be a special gift of prophecy, and if it gave no new information, why would it be? It just can't disagree with the scriptures. Notice what it says. This is the spirit of prophecy, and I'll give you the reference first. This is from First Selected Messages, page 409. It says, it was Christ that spoke through Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek was not Christ, but was the voice of God in the world, the representative of the Father, and all through the generations of the past, Christ has spoken. Christ has led his people and has been the light of the world. Okay? Now, what I want to say to you is that when you read about Melchizedek, it tells us that he had no father, no mother, no beginning, and no ending. So it would appear that Melchizedek was a divine being, okay? But it was not Christ according to the council. Melchizedek could only be the Holy Spirit. Now, people would say, why would you say that? Well, you have to understand, if Jesus is God, and I'm not talking about the Father. He's separate from the Father, but the Father calls him God. He is still God. He just worships the Father. The Father is the only one who worships no one. The Holy Spirit would worship the Father, but would represent Christ. Okay? He didn't speak for himself, it says in John 16, but he speaks for Christ. So you have the Father in rank as God, the Son in rank below the Father as God, the Holy Spirit in rank below the Son, but he's still God. They're in perfect harmony, my brothers and sisters, three separate beings. But if Jesus, who is God, could become flesh, who could also be in the form of an angel, Michael the archangel. He's the only one that gives life. He said, I am the resurrection of the life. And yet he, in the book of Jude, disputed with the devil over the body of Moses. It says, just not bring a railing accusation, but just said, I rebuke thee. And so we know Moses was resurrected because we know he died. The Bible says that clearly. And we know we see him at the transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured in Matthew 17, okay? On one side was Moses representing those who would die in Christ and be resurrected at the second coming, and Elijah on the right side, on the other side, who would represent we which are alive and remain, okay, who will be caught up together with him in the clouds. And so the transfiguration was a representation of the second coming of Christ. Christ will be in the center, and rising up to heaven with him would be the righteous living and the righteous dead who were resurrected, symbolized by Moses, who had died and was resurrected, mentioned in the book of Jude, or inferred in the book of Jude, and then Elijah, who we know was caught up in a chariot of clouds. All right? So Melchizedek was not Christ. He was Christ's representative. I believe Melchizedek was the Holy Spirit. That's the only solution I could come to, because the Bible very clearly, when it talks about Melchizedek, says he had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no end. So if Jesus could change forms and become human, so could also the Holy Spirit for a period of time. Therefore, that's the only possible solution that I have, because he was a high priest. And therefore, the Father would be the one to receive the gifts and answer the prayers, so on and so forth. So it would not be the Father. All right. Because the high priest ministers before the throne, right? Okay. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said also unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Verse 6. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now we're in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, see, the days of his flesh, that would suggest that maybe he had days that weren't in his flesh. That's why I believe it's the Holy Spirit. When he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, this is talking about Melchizedek, unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Okay? So, who would save him from death? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit, there would be no reason for the human Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit in human form to die. But as human, he would depend on the Father just like Jesus did. But it was intended for Jesus to die, you see. So I personally believe Melchizedek was the Holy Spirit, and he did not see death. He just changed form back to the Spirit. The Bible said he had no beginning, no ending. I read it to you from First Selected Messages, where it was not Christ. Therefore, it could only be the Holy Spirit. All right. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, a lot of people don't understand this verse. This is verse 8. Christ never sinned, but it says he learned obedience. You can learn obedience without sinning. You're going to be tempted today, and every temptation is a lesson, is a lesson, is a lesson. And so when you overcome the temptation, it's a lesson learned. So you learn obedience by the things that you suffer. God allows temptations to make us stronger. God allows trials to make us stronger, brothers and sisters. So it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You know, a lot of people believe that we don't have to obey, that we're not saved by obedience. And we're not saved by obedience. The author of our salvation, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, but it says he brings salvation unto all them that obey him. Do you realize that repentance is a command? Repent and be converted. That's a command. Just like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Those are commands. Friends, the bottom line is you're not going to heaven if you don't learn to obey the Lord. You've got to obey to follow the gospel. You've got to confess. That is a command. Confess your sin. You know? But it's 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So what if we don't confess? We're not going to be forgiven. It is a command, just like remember the Sabbath. So my friends, a lot of people want to say that we don't have to obey. We do have to obey. The Ten Commandments are still binding. Everything in the Word of God is binding upon us. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not important. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you, oh, you can't be perfect. Don't worry about all that stuff. That is a lie from the pit of hell. My brothers and sisters, this life that we have is a probationary period to prepare us for heaven. Let me read something to you in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. A lot of people don't realize that there is not going to be a moral change. In other words, if you're yelling at your husband, yelling at your wife, yelling at your mother, yelling at your children, and it's not godly yell, you're not yelling at to tell them to stop because they're going to fall off a cliff. You're just yelling and screaming and fussing and all that. Brothers and sisters, there's no moral change when Jesus comes. Notice what it says. Jesus is about to talk, but it says, he that is unjust, verse 11, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Okay? So the bottom line, my brothers and sisters, is you're locked in to whatever character growth. When Jesus comes, you're already pre-locked in. So if we have not gotten to the point where we've overcome these inherited and cultivated tendencies to sin, we're going to be locked in. But guess what? If we have overcome those hereditary and cultivated tendencies to sin by surrendering our hearts to the Lord, by growing in grace, you could have had a bad childhood. You could have been abused in a variety of ways, sexually included, and you can still overcome. There's no sin. No problem, no inherited, no issue that happened to you when you were a child, so on and so forth, that can keep you out of the kingdom. God is stronger than all of that. And he will bring justice where justice is needed, brothers and sisters, but he will also bring mercy where mercy is needed. A lot of people think that certain types of sins you just can't ever overcome. That's not true. There is no sin that you can't ever overcome. Now, brothers and sisters, let's keep ourselves pure in every way, because that's God's way. But I'm just here to tell you, my friends, that we've been lied to. And unfortunately, in every denomination, we are told, in large denominations, all of them, Sabbath keeping included, we are told that we cannot have the perfection that Christ had. And that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, be ye also perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What Jesus did by coming on this earth, he was giving us an example of how we can have oneness with God in human flesh by depending on divine resources. That's what Christ was doing. He did not use his own divinity to overcome sin. There were times where his divinity flashed through humanity when he would speak and say certain things, or when healings were done, or whatever the case might be. Sometimes divinity would flash through momentarily to humanity and cause people to fall to the ground. But the bottom line is Jesus did not use his innate divinity to in his fight with the devil to overcome temptation. He only used that which is available to us. So if he can do it, we can do it. 1 John 4:19, it says we love him, I think, because he first loved us. But there's another verse that says, I forgot the exact verse, but it's very clear. Hold on. Let me find it. It talks about us following the example of Christ. 1 John 2:6 says, he that abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So you can be like Jesus. That's why the song says, be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. You can be like Jesus, friend. And unfortunately, just because the preacher is not like Jesus, don't follow him. This day, don't follow her. And I'm not suggesting that a pastor should be a her, because that's not in the Bible. Follow the Bible. I don't care what the church says. I can tell you the history, brothers and sisters. I've been around a little bit of time. I remember when they were talking about, and please understand, I'm going to be balanced. You're going to see this is balanced. There is nothing in the Bible that says that women are not called even to teach, okay? And I'm going to tell you something, and we have some people from my hometown here listening, but there was a sister, I don't think she's listening, but a Revelation seminar was given, and I'm going to tell you, I've never heard anybody teach the book of Revelation as good as she taught the book of Revelation. And at that time, I was at a particular church, and there was a lot of, you know, people, Caucasian folks, and a lot of people came to that Revelation seminar. And they have spent, they would spend $17,000, $20,000 to advertise, and nobody would come when the preachers did their official thing. Somehow, this sister got a whole bunch of people to come, 30, 40 people to come to her Revelation seminar, and a lot of them were baptized, even to the point that it was some prejudice there, unfortunately, and some of the Caucasian people wanted to put a cap on the number of black people that could come into that church. But I'm here to tell you, God has women who can teach and preach. That is not what a pastor is, okay? So there is nothing about having more testosterone that makes you a better orator. I just want to make sure you understand that. And the whole tribe of Levi was called and set aside. So there's nothing about more testosterone that means you're set aside for holy use, but a woman can't be set aside for holy use. That doesn't make you the priest. Only the male was the priest, okay? Because that role was a representation of Christ, and Christ is not a woman, brothers and sisters. God is not female. God is male. But guess what? Male and female are made in his image. So it's about the mind. We need men and we need women, or none of us would be here. So God in his mercy allowed some to be male, some to be female, to keep it balanced, and we would be able to procreate. And the Bible said in the beginning, fill the world. I forget the word that God used in the book of Genesis, but we were supposed to go and populate the world with the character of God, okay? So that being said, I've made it very clear that it is not teaching and preaching that makes you a pastor or a priest or an elder. It is a role that you have. Just like in a home, the husband has a role, the wife has a role, and those roles teach the plan of redemption. And so that role of elder and pastor was a male role, as it helps to teach the plan of redemption, which will represent Christ and bring Christ and to our families. Male, men, women are the weaker vessels. Men are the stronger, the protector of the family. It's a teaching, brothers and sisters, experience. And so what happened in a particular denomination is that when they were calling for women elders, there was an argument that said, wait a minute, we don't see that in the Bible, okay? Do you know what the counter argument was? We're not asking them to be ordained. We just don't have enough men in the church, so we need to just have them because there's just more women in the church, okay? So that was the argument. Some of you all will remember that argument. I'm old enough to remember that argument. It was still a wrong argument, okay? The women could have still taught. They didn't have to be the elder. The women could have still preached. They didn't have to be the pastor, okay, or elder. Let's say elder back then. So then once they said, okay, we've got to have elders, then they came back with another argument. It's not fair. They're doing the work of elders, but they're not ordained. But you remember, you got them in as elders because you said, we're not asking you to ordain them. You see how the devil just creeps things in? Okay, again, has nothing to do with being called, has nothing to do with being set aside for holy use. If a woman is teaching and preaching and sharing, and she can be paid by the tithe according to the word of God, should still be doing medical missionary work as well, okay? But see, we've gone way away from the blueprint, all right? So that being said, moving forward, then you've got to say, okay, well, they can be pastors. Well, they're already doing the work of an elder. Then you could say, well, in the Bible, an elder had the same qualifications as a pastor. So if you let them be elders and you let them be ordained, it's wrong if you don't let them be a pastor. Then they say, okay, but we're not asking you to ordain them. Let's just let them be pastors. Now, you see what I'm saying? I'm just telling you how stuff creeps in, brothers and sisters. This is not an anti-woman message. This is a message that exalts women, because women can still teach and preach, but it's not in the Bible that they hold the role that God intended for men to hold, okay? But that does not mean that they're not called to teach and preach. There's a difference, and a lot of people don't understand. The Bible is very clear. An elder, bishop, That was nothing but an elder, and that's another thing. We developed a Catholic mindset where the bishop is over the preachers. That's not biblical, my friends. It's not biblical. All of them were elders, okay? Paul was an elder. He wasn't a bishop over others, okay? But nonetheless, let me just, you know, stay in the word. There was a point I was going to make, a scripture I was going to bring out. The Bible says the qualifications, he is to be the husband of one wife. And so with all this gender confusion, that's the last thing we should have done is confuse gender. Because that's what the world is doing, brothers and sisters. You will get in trouble. I'm going to tell you straight. We just had a shooting, and unfortunately, the shooter also was shot, but that shooter, brothers and sisters, was a he. I don't care if the news reporters call her a she all day long. That shooter was a he. Now, they say that she identified as a trans. No, that just means it's a he who didn't know his God, and he chose to dress up like a woman. That's what the bottom line is, and I'm not going to call him a her. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just simply saying that I have to stick with the Bible. The Bible says if you were born man, you're a he. And the Bible makes it clear in Jeremiah 1:5 that it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, I ordained thee as a prophet. Didn't say prophetess, but there were prophetesses in the Bible. So that means God knew our calling and our gender before we were even formed as a fetus. Okay? So that there's Jeremiah 1:5. There you have it. So, my friends, I'm just being honest. You can go to that church's website, or you can just type in that church's name and transgender, and it will tell you that you can be a member as a transgender. You just can't have sex with somebody that's not your heterosexual spouse. Brothers and sisters, that's abomination, that's confusion. That means I can put on a wig, I can put on my wife's clothes, she can cut her hair, she can take hormones and grow facial hair. We can go hand in hand to the church, and they cannot refuse us as members because we would not be doing that which should not be done with our heterosexual spouse. That would be teaching the children sin. And the church would be condoning sin, brothers and sisters. The Bible said it's an abomination for a man to wear that which pertaineth unto a woman, and vice versa. We've forgotten the Bible. So I'm here to tell you, my friends, don't put your trust in a church. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in a preacher. Don't put your trust in me. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Let's read on. We're in Hebrews chapter 5, go back, and verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation for all them that obey him. So we were just talking about how we have to obey. You're not saved by obedience, but saved people obey. And so it's very clear. It says, he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey. We do have to obey in order to be saved, but obeying doesn't save. We're saved by grace through faith. But grace teaches obedience. I can show it to you. Titus chapter 2, verses 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. What teaches us to deny ungodliness? Grace. Ungodliness is the stuff they do at clubs, okay? Ungodliness, worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What teaches us that? Grace. So if you've accepted the grace of God, then you are taught to be obedient. You're taught that the seventh day is the Sabbath, not the day the Pope changed back in 323 A.D. and made Sunday their day of worship. They make it very clear. This is a quote from the Catholic Church. They say Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. And this transference from Saturday to Sunday is proof of that fact. So when you go to church on Sunday, you're actually honoring the Pope. You're not honoring God, my friend. God says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Well, I'm worshiping on the Lord's day. No, the Bible says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. Well, we don't know which day it is. Well, go to Matthew 28, verse 1, and ask anybody in the world what day did Jesus rise. And then some of those people who go to church once a year will go to church on Easter Sunday. Easter what? Sunday. Everybody knows what day Jesus rose. Well, the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 1, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. So you might not know what day is the Sabbath, but you always know what day Jesus rose. The Bible says the day he rose was the day after the Sabbath, so now you know. So you can't use that excuse anymore. Friends, but the bottom line is the Bible teaches that the beast of Revelation 13, 1 through 10, is the Roman Catholic Church. All Protestants used to teach that. Now even some Sabbath-keeping Protestants are questioning that, okay? But all Protestants used to teach that. Well, if that's the beast, they tell you what their mark is. Sunday is our mark. All of what you see, all of this Pestilence 19, all of the, which the Roman Catholic Church says you should follow the method that everybody else is following, and all this climate stuff, which they say you should have a, we should rest and have a climate Sunday. Okay, all of this, you know, change of gender and all that stuff, it's all leading to a collapse of government and confusion. And then when it's so bad and everybody's going to be so scared, they're going to come and say, we got to get back to God. And the only way to get back to God is we got to worship him together. The National Sunday Law is the mark of the beast. It has not happened yet, brothers and sisters, but the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the United States of America is going to lead out in bringing the world to honor the Pope in a national Sunday law. So I'm telling you, the jab is not the mark of the beast. I'm not encouraging that. I'm simply saying that's not the mark. But all these things that take away our freedom and confuse the Constitution. See, that's what the devil does with the LGBTQIA and it just keeps going on movement. He's trying to confuse you so that you don't understand the Constitution. You see, they believe it's their constitutional right. That's why I never marched in a Black Lives Matter march, because the founders of Black Lives Matter were two lesbians. God bless them. When I say God bless them, God loves them, okay? He wants to save them. But you must understand, tax returns, not tax returns, but you know when you have a 501c3 registered, you can't keep your financials private. So you can actually go and look at the financials of a 501c3 that's registered. And that was done and found out that almost nothing was done to help the Black community, but thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars were put into the LGBTQIA community from the monies, millions raised for Black Lives Matter. It didn't go to help Black people. You see, so brothers and sisters, that Black Lives Matter movement was simply a front to bring in homosexuals. They were riding on the whole thing. It's a civil right. I'm Black. You're going to not let me go to the bathroom. I got to go to a different bathroom because of the color of my skin. You see, then they would say, well, this because this is who I am. And it is who I am. I'm Black, okay? If you're white, that's who you are. You're white. Right? But we're all saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen? But the point being made is who you sleep with is not who you are. You have changed who you are to mean who you sleep with. That's not who you are. And you don't know who you are. You're a child of a king. And if you knew you were a child of the king, you would trust him. And even though, you know, stuff happened to you as a child, or you start feeling these feelings. You know, we got all kind of stuff. We don't look at Bible verses. We get look at metal verses. So people are in this psychedelic, crazy idealism these days. They don't have sound minds. The devil wants it that way, friends. And so that's what we have. But I'm telling you, the LGBTQIA movement is a movement put in place by the devil so that we would not understand clearly the Constitution. Anything that brings confusion regarding the Constitution leads to a national Sunday law because you don't understand what your rights are. We have the religious rights. The United States gave two basic rights, civil liberties and religious liberties. That's what America was based on. America is the second beast of Revelation 13, starting with verse 11. It had two horns like a lamb. That means those were good principles. But the Bible said it would speak like a dragon. That means it would go against those principles and be the one that leads out in so doing. And that's what we're seeing and we're going to see in the Bible. So all these things, how we deal with pandemics, LGBTQIA, Black Lives Matter, climate change, all of these things either confuse the Constitution, demoralize society, so it's going to scare people, and so on and so forth. Brothers and sisters, you all need to get my book, The Biblical Booster. Yes, I'm going to put a commercial because it's truth. The Biblical Booster, Boosting the Immunity of Our Global Community. That is in, you can find that. Let me make sure I'm looking at my time. We're going to have to close out. What we're going to do, we are not going to have our intermission so we can hear from Sister Lenny. But I'm here to tell you, friends, I have the data. One out of every 40 people, approximately, who took a particular inoculation were dead in 90 days during a clinical trial at a time when you and I were taught that it was 95% safe. That's just one fact in a 322-page book. Go to biblicalbooster.org. Let's finish reading Hebrews, and then we'll transition to wellness. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them also which obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So Christ is not Melchizedek. He's called after that order, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So when we first come to Christ, we're in the milk stage. You can read that in Hebrews 2:2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We need a relationship with Christ first. Then we're ready to go into deeper thoughts. Now what happens is we get into all these deep thoughts and we haven't surrendered to Christ. That's a problem. That's what this being talked about. You ought to be a teacher, but you haven't learned the first steps. That's what he's being said, what is being said. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The more we learn of God, the more we can discern good from evil. The more we will see what's behind the things that the world is pushing us toward. That's when we are eating strong meat. I presented some strong meat in this message, but I've also presented milk. We've got to surrender our hearts to the Lord, my friends. That's all God wants. You surrender to him, he'll give you the strength to do anything that's needed. Praise God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we've looked at the gospel in Hebrews 5, we pray for the Holy Spirit to continue to guide and lead. I ask that your name will be glorified by the things that we have taught today. And I pray that each person will think about them and not reject them, but listen to the Spirit of the living God. Bless us to this end in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, we are going to just go right into our health message for today. And our health message, our health message for today is entitled Health Through Body and Soul, presented by Sister Lenny. I'm going to get her mic up, so to speak, and then we will go right into that at this time. Sister Lenny, please.
Good morning. Happy Friday. What a blessing that we have been awakened by Jesus once again this morning.
Amen.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. 3 John 2. Health to body and soul. There are conditions to be observed by all who would preserve health. All should learn that these conditions are: the Lord is not pleased with ignorance in regard to his laws, either natural or spiritual. We are to be workers together with God for the restoration of health to the body as well as to the soul. And we should teach others how to preserve and to recover health. For the sick, we should use the remedies which God has provided in nature, and we should point them to him who alone can restore. It is our work to present the sick and suffering to Christ in the arms of our faith. We should teach them to believe in the great healer. We should lay hold on His promise and pray for the manifestation of His power. The very essence of the gospel is restoration, and the Savior would have us bid the sick, the hopeless, and the afflicted take hold upon His strength. The power of love was in all Christ's healing, and only by partaking of that love through faith can we be instruments for His work. If we neglect to link ourselves to divine connection with Christ, the current of life-giving energy cannot flow in rich streams from us to the people. There were places where the Savior Himself could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. The body must be kept in a healthy condition in order that the soul may be in health. The condition of the body affects the condition of the soul. He who would have physical and spiritual strength must educate his appetite in right lines. He must be careful not to burden the soul by overtaxing his physical or spiritual powers. Faithful adherence to right principles in eating, drinking, and dressing is a duty that God has laid upon human beings. The Lord desires us to obey the laws of health and life. He holds each one responsible to care properly for his body, that it may be kept in health. The Savior in his miracles revealed the power that is continually at work in man's behalf to sustain and to heal him. Through the agencies of nature, God is working day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to keep us alive and to build up and restore us. The desire of God for every human being is expressed in the words, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." True religion and the laws of health go hand in hand. Today's reading is coming from Lift Him Up. It's a devotional book, page 260. Thank you, and may God surround you with all of His blessings today. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. All right, friends, we've got 12 minutes to the top of the hour. If there is anyone that would like to share anything, ask any question, give any comment, even disagree, you can do so. Just do it agreeably. Press star 6. We'll start with a roll call. We have Missouri represented. We have Greece. That's Athens, Greece. Right? I did say Athens, Greece. We've got our brother, Thank God. I told you about my story about Thank God. He told me his name. I said, "Brother, what's your name?" He said, "Thank God." I said, "Yes, amen. What's your name?" He said, "Thank God." I thought he was just trying to help me to thank God more, and come to find out that was his name. We have Virginia represented, and we have Louisiana on the call. We do have our mother in Israel about to take her call, but let me finish roll call first. That's going to be, we have Ohio represented. We have another mother in Israel in Maryland over there at, forgot the house, the name of the house that we used to go visit. But anyway, we've got our mother in Israel who's about to take her call. We've got Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Ohio. We have my dear sister, I tried to call you with the Iowa phone number. We have a sister from Oklahoma. We have Georgia, mother in Israel. And that's our roll call. Okay, we're going to the call. We're going to take our mother in Israel at this time. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor, and everyone on the line, Sister Marie also. And the statement you made about Melchizedek, you are correct. I don't have the tape, but in the spirit of prophecy, Sister White, who the Holy Spirit used to address God's last day people, educators rather. She said that the Holy Spirit took a body of like a human and He is God, also God, and he ministered for a certain time on the earth, and I should have sent for that tape, but I didn't. A brother in Washington State by the name of, his last name is Jones, Jack Jones. He also confirmed that he had the tape, and anyone could have sent for the tape, but I just didn't know where to send for it. But Sister White confirmed that it was the Holy Spirit ministering and took the name Melchizedek. And he is also God, and he could do just what Jesus did. And Amen. Abraham, when he went out on that mission to get Lot and his family back, he paid tithes of all that he got when he fought with those five kings and retrieved Lot and his family. He paid tithes of all that he had to Melchizedek. And so, just confirming that you were quite correct when you said Melchizedek was the Holy Spirit in human form. So God bless you, and everyone have a happy Sabbath. Please pray for me and my family also.
Thank you, sister. Amen. Amen. Which brings me to remind us that, to the announcement, I should say, we are having Sabbath service on Zoom, 557-587-3947. We do usually put an announcement out in Facebook as well as in our WhatsApp list. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything at this present time? Earlier in the broadcast, we had some God is merciful, hallelujah, statements from our dear sister in St. Louis, Missouri. It says, if he can do it, we can do it. That's a good word. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you for that encouragement, sis. All right. Well, that being said, we do have from our other mother in Israel over at Emerson House is what it's called. We'll go ahead and take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister David.
Good morning, Pastor. I'm glad that I wake up to turn on this thing because I had wondering to know if who Melchizedek was. I know that he wasn't Jesus, but I didn't know who he was. But being on the line, it was good that I get to understand that he was the one of the Holy Spirit form as a man.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Praise God.
And how are you doing? How are your family doing?
We're doing just fine. We miss you. We miss you. You doing okay?
Well, I'm doing okay. You don't have time with me now, but that's okay. But I still love you.
Now, Sister David, that's not true. We live a lot further away now. So I'm not in the D.C. area or anywhere near there anymore. But when I came to visit you. You remember that?
Yes.
All right. We will continue to do
that. That is about a year ago, right?
I don't remember how long ago it was.
Well, I could remember in spite of my birthday, I got to be 84 in May. I could remember a lot of stuff.
That's good. That's good. Well, one day we're going to go to heaven, and we won't have to worry about being alone or not being visited. None of those things will be issues once we get into the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Oh yes. Oh, yes. I'm praying for that. I hope it's on that. You know, there will be no more pain. It will be no more headache, no more ointment, no more nothing. We're just giving God praise and thanks for what he has done for us. Okay,
Amen.
Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, sister. Happy Sabbath coming.
Like you can't even remember my name.
I'm sorry, say it again?
You can't remember my name?
Yes, ma'am. You are Stella David.
Okay, all right. Okay, as long as you remember my name, I thought you didn't remember my name.
All right, Sister David. God bless
okay,
you.
Okay, and God bless you too.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, thanks. We'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Up, to take us to the throne of grace.
Father, we thank you for this time of worship, and now we pray that your Spirit will continue to be with us throughout this day, guiding us and directing. We ask, Lord, that we will be ready for your beautiful and holy Sabbath. So help us to get all of our preparation more completed successfully. And we pray, Lord, that we will not put anything extra into our day that could delay us from being able to welcome in the Sabbath. We pray that you would be with every heart in a special way. And as we go into the time of holiness with you, may we put forth our special, personal, intricate petitions before you, Lord, putting everything at the foot of Jesus and allowing our Lord to work everything out in accordance with his perfect will. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk.